So I'd like to just start by introducing our first presenter, Luz Zagana, who's been a consultant for the San Francisco Asthma Task Force over the past 4 years. And during this time, Ms. Zagana served as the project coordinator for eliminating bleach exposure and transforming disinfection practices in childcare. Ms. Zagana is a graduate of the University of California at Berkeley and received her master's in public health with a concentration in environmental health sciences. She's interested in a career promoting children's environmental health, and she's going to talk with us about bleach-free best practices for infection control in child care settings.
Hi, I'm Luz, and like Jennifer said, my work focuses on bleach-free best practices for infection control in child care settings. I have no disclosures to So bleach is widely used in child care settings because it's a cost-effective way to meet community care licensing division's infection control regulations. However, these regulations lead to overexposure since providers are finding that they're spraying bleach anywhere between 25 to close to 100 times a day, oftentimes in inadequately spaced rooms. So on one hand, we have the providers who are concerned that bleach is toxic. They've experienced illness, they've experienced respiratory difficulties, skin burns, damage to their clothing, so they wanted to convert to a bleach-free environment. These are also the providers that experimented with alternatives such as lemon juice and vinegar that aren't compliant with licensing, or they reduce their infection control efforts in order to avoid spraying the bleach so frequently throughout the day. So you have these providers that are asking for our help and they want to convert to a bleach-free environment, but then on the other hand, you have the providers that lack the capacity or the interest to do so. And it's really important to eliminate bleach in child care settings because nationwide and statewide data, work-related asthma data, implicate bleach as being able to cause new onset asthma, with cleaning staff, teachers, and teachers' aides at an elevated risk in educational settings. Based on some more recent data, the Association for Occupational and Environmental Clinics has designated bleach an asthmogen this year, which means that bleach is considered an asthma-causing substance. Before this designation, in 2008, we started a pilot project in order to help resolve the dilemma faced by not only child care providers, but also their public health nurses and quality assessors who wanted to improve infection control without compromising health. So what we did was we started by partnering with the nurses at the San Francisco Department of Public Health Child Care Health Project, as well as the quality assessors from Gateway to Quality, and we identified target sites with priority given to family providers and child care centers serving low-income families. In order to identify sanitizers and disinfectants that were safer for asthma than bleach, that weren't respiratory sensitizers, and that weren't related to work-related asthma, we consulted with the California Department of Public Health Occupational Health Branch, and we received industrial hygiene consultation for reviewing exposure issues. We also received technical consultation from the San Francisco Department of the Environment. We work towards policy initiatives with organizations that work on asthma. We collaborated with regional asthma management and prevention to approach childcare licensing and to talk about our findings and our recommendations. And our collaboration with Breathe California allowed the Board of Education in San Francisco to pass a green cleaning resolution. And based on this resolution, the early education programs in the San Francisco Unified School District are mandated to adopt our bleach-free recommendations. So I'm going to move around a little bit on the bubble to the left on the bottom. But the following city agencies were able to provide funding as well as guidance in prioritizing family child care providers who receive city subsidies. And some of those city agencies are Human Services Agency of San Francisco, First Five, Department of Children, Youth, and Their Families. And finally, the Children's Environmental Health Promotion Program provided supervision of the project, and they also help for translation and dissemination to Chinese-speaking and Spanish-speaking workers. So in summary, this slide is just to show you what a broad collaboration we have, and that this effort is really a concerted effort of a broad coalition of partners that we have. I don't think I'd be here today if it weren't for some of these partners. So it's great to have such a support system. So we started with 20 centers, and we first observed site practices, what's going on a daily basis with regard to infection control. And we took that information and we oriented the managers. This is what we found, these are the regulations, and what do you think are the barriers for meeting those childcare regulations for infection control? Then we developed and utilized trilingual material and participatory methods during training. So basically we had an interactive training in order to build off of what they already knew. We also administered staff surveys to assess ease of use and operator acceptability of the methods and some of the products that we were introducing. And finally, we provided provided them with a toolkit upon training. And in that toolkit, we had some safety materials, such as calibrating dispensing pumps for their bleach dilutions in order to make them accurately and safely. We gave them safety goggles and eye wash stations, as well as appropriately sized spray bottles, which were labeled so that they would make their bleach dilutions properly. We also gave them instructional placards for each workstation and digital timers. The digital timers were actually the most popular tool in our toolkit. They were mainly for ensuring that the proper contact time had elapsed, contact time being the amount of time required for a sanitizer or disinfectant to remain on a surface in order to be effective. And for bleach, that contact time is 2 minutes, and the providers were having a hard time making sure that that 2 minutes had passed. So that was a really popular item that we gave them. We also provided follow-up observation and on-site support to help them through the implementation. Some of the findings were that we had a limited set of antimicrobials to choose from that weren't associated with asthma, and since sanitizers had to be registered as food contact sanitizers, this further limited the selection of antimicrobials we had to choose from. Pilot project observation revealed that the workforce is inadequately trained and they're misinformed by not only their quality assessors, but also childcare licensing. Their practices varied widely, not just between different centers, but also within the same classroom in the center. And they were unnecessarily overexposing themselves to bleach. So they were eyeballing their bleach dilutions, using inadequately sized spray bottles like the one pictured here. And in combination, those two things create a really strong bleach solution that they're spraying on the table so frequently throughout the day. We also observed very hazardous practices, like they were mixing two different disinfectants together and mopping the floor while the children were sleeping on their cots. They were spraying the strong bleach solution on the tables while the children were asleep on their cots just below. And they were also leaving the surfaces wet with the strong bleach solution, and children were seen accessing them. They were touching them. They were licking these surfaces. I think hazardous practices can be another presentation in itself. But what I'm trying to say is that the field testing revealed not only the need for bleach-free methods, but also safer bleach methods. So how are we going to comply with community care licensing infection control requirements without compromising health? First was to give them the safety tools in order to use bleach properly. So we built off of their existing system by letting them know what the proper practices were and to know how to do them safely. And we also actually pulled out these regulations for them. Instead of having them wade through the 300-page manual and not knowing what to do, we created this table so that they would see what they were accountable for. And then we also implemented bleach-free antimicrobials. So the ones listed here are the ones we're currently recommending, and they are all EPA registered, and they're all based on hydrogen peroxide, which is stabilized for use on hard, non-porous surfaces. And they all meet child care licensing regulations. The first being Oxivir TB, and this is a disinfectant mainly used on diaper changing tables, potty training chairs, and sinks. The next is Sanidate, which is a food contact surface sanitizer, mainly used for food tables. And then the last is Alpha HP, which is a custodial product which is used mainly on floors. Some of the barriers during our pilot project and beyond include the incorrect disinfection requirements were disseminated by Community Care Licensing Division. Some of the language in the regulations are not correct according to EPA's definitions and verbiage. And also, I went to a three-day orientation with Community Care Licensing Division, and they said that bleach was mandated, which isn't true, and they were also giving me incorrect information for the dilutions. So this was a barrier for us. And also, their quality assessors. We had mentioned contact time. The contact time for bleach is 2 minutes. These quality assessors were handing out flyers to their community saying that 10 seconds was sufficient for bleach to remain on a surface in order to be effective. And that's only 8% of the required time. So that was a huge barrier. 10 seconds and our ask was 2 minutes. It was difficult to overcome. That's why the timers came into place. We had a limited selection of antimicrobials to choose from that didn't have associated asthma risks. And additionally, that were registered as food contact sanitizers. Again, with the contact time, we had to choose antimicrobials that were that had a contact time of 2 minutes or less in order for this implementation to be effective. And we also found some food contact sanitizers with a pH that was too acidic to be spraying on tables while children were napping, right just below. The EPA was also a barrier to our work. We found that the oversight of hospital-level disinfectants occurs post-registration rather than pre-registration, and this is a problem for us because the disinfectant that we are recommending is hospital-level disinfectant. Also, we learned that the EPA is not authorized to provide oversight of antimicrobial device claims. And at the time, this was important for us because we were recommending a water ionizing device. Some of the barriers for the child care providers. So our goal was to eliminate bleach exposure and transform disinfection practices in childcare. And this requires a behavior change. In order for us to foster and facilitate behavior change, we had to support the childcare workers on various different levels. Like I said before, there was a lack of managerial oversight and training for the workers, and we helped bridge that gap by starting that conversation with the managers as to what they think some of the barriers could be for meeting infection control requirements. And we actually gave them adequate training to help them through the process. Language and literacy access to training material and scientific material was lacking, so we developed trilingual material to disseminate to our childcare community, and we provided training that was also trilingual. We needed endorsement from assessing bodies because one of the first questions I get asked is, will I get dinged for using the products that you are recommending? And I had to constantly reassure them that they weren't going to get dinged. We did talk to Community Care Licensing. There is one small statement in their 300-page manual that says, commercial disinfecting solutions, including one-step cleaning disinfection solutions may be used in accordance with the label. So I had to constantly reassure them that they weren't going to get dinged by childcare licensing, as well as their quality assessors who were using the environment rating scales. Locally, we had some partners with the quality assessors, but on a national level, we wrote them a letter saying that we were concerned about the dwell time that they were recommending, and they've since written letters for clarification stating that EPA-approved products are acceptable, but they haven't yet addressed the dwell time. Cost is always a barrier, and instead of looking at the upfront cost, we help them break it down. So if they were looking at a $600 cost over a year, we help them look at it as $50 per month, and they could ask for $5 as a donation from each parent if they had 10 children. So we help them break them up like that. And we wrote letters to justify the cost to their boards. And since products are available online, this was a barrier for some of the providers who run down to the dollar store or Walgreens to pick up their bleach. So they actually asked me to help them come and support them when they were trying to order online. But there's a need for antimicrobial products out there that are bleach-free, and this market is always changing and product lines are always changing. And we're learning that this is an ever-evolving process for us. So over the course of 3 or 4 years, we've learned that there are some issues related to our recommendations, and some of them being that the portion control bleach dispensing pumps for safer dilution became corroded and unreliable, and since bleach is currently considered an asthmagen, our recommendations for safer bleach practices discontinued. As far as our bleach free sanitizers go, like I said, we were recommending a water ionizing device called the Ionator, and we found that there's a gap in regulatory oversight by the EPA of active ions, antimicrobial device claims, antimicrobial claims for their Ionator. And we also found that the Ionator potentially releases hexavalent chromium from the electrode when ionizing water was sprayed. So we issued a letter to our community. We helped talk them through it. I personally went out to each site and collected their Ionators for them and helped them get a refund. During the time of our pilot project, we were testing bleach-free sanitizers that were based on thymol. And at that time, we had to discontinue testing because we were alerted to the fact that thymol is classified as an asthmogen. This year, thymol became declassified as an asthmogen. However, thymol still fails to meet the Design for the Environment's criteria for skin sensitization, genetic toxicity, and developmental toxicity. I think this is a really important thing to say because I have been getting a lot of calls about thymol. So to end on a positive note, we have issued our first report last year, and based on all of the findings of this year, we wanted to update our community, so we're currently working on a second edition to our report. We've also been able to collaborate with Community Care Licensing, and they invited us to write an article for their spring newsletter that came out this year. And they connected us with their sister agency, the Emergency Medical Services Authority, who trains newly licensed providers, and they've adopted our training materials. We've also been asked to speak at various other speaking engagements to disseminate our work further. And for the interest of time, I'm just going to talk about the impact we have today on a local level. On the left, you'll see what our target sites were. They include 121 child care centers, 100 family child care providers, and 31 early education department program sites, all of these serving low-income families. Of those 252 sites, we've trained 144 of them to date, and 22% are completely bleach-free. 61% are using a bleach-free sanitizer, and 17% are continuing to use bleach. To date, we've reached over 800 child care workers in the city of San Francisco. If you would like more information about our project, please feel free to contact me. And there's also a link for our first report. Thank you.